227, Saved by the Blood, number 227. Everyone take a songbook this morning, everyone singing number 227.
Service that we're going to have. I've been looking so much forward to this. Right now, Mrs. Lawrence is out in the children's church, and she's going to be help make a presentation out there to our children. Just an exciting day, and I hope you're excited about this whole month. Every Sunday, folks, is going to be a unique and special and a blessing. I want it to educate us. I want it to inspire us. I want it to cause us to lift up our eyes into the field and see how white the harvest is. I want us to become more passionate than we've ever been about reaching beyond the boundaries of our physical ability to reach and trying to make a difference all across this country and across the world. You know, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'm going to preach on this tonight. Blessed Hope Baptist Church can have a global impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We have a global impact for the Lord. Oh, Brother Jared, you know what? You just need to come down to earth. No, I think our problem is we're too earthly. I think that's probably our problem, is we're too caught up in the world. And so I want you to get hungry about this. I want you to say, what about me? By the way, young people, you're going to see some things this morning. I want God to stir your heart. Brother Lawrence is going to come out to our teen hour tonight to speak specifically to our teenagers about Jewish missions and the opportunities there. I want your heart to be open. I want you to ask God to do something in your heart. I'm so excited about it. It's not just for young people. The single lady that he mentioned that is on deputation right now that they're going to send out is a widower. Did I say that right? A widow. A widow. Sorry about that. A widow. And her husband passed away. And she still has the health and ability, and got excited and said, you know what, I can go to Israel and I can help an established missionary there with this Nehemiah project. Now, folks, I don't know how you feel about it. That's exciting to me. That's exciting to me. I think we ought to be open to whatever God tells us to do, when God tells us to do it. I think if you're drawing breath, amen, then God's not done with you yet.
Amen.
And God wants you to do something, and you should be doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so who knows? Who knows what this day will mean in eternity? But I know this. I want God to do everything in Jerry Ross's heart that he wanted to do with the services today. And I'm asking him to do that. Well, it's good to see everybody here. It is. Teenagers, if they look a little tired, it's because they got worn out this weekend on that trip. What a great, great time they had, and a great experience down there. Some wonderful things happened, but it's just not much sleep. Not much sleep come Friday night. But boy, they had a good time, and it was just a wonderful thing. And Chad got into a fight down there. Two of our guys got into a fight down there. I couldn't believe that. Our whole testimonies, I'll have to explain that later. But the guy had a crazy, you know Tim Russ? How many? You know Tim Russ? Okay. I always knew he was nuts, but now I have proof. Okay. Decided this whole thing was going to be built on a boxing theme of this youth rally. And then at the last minute, they decided to send out these waivers, and any of these boys that wanted to get up there and box each other could box each other. And after he did about five or six rounds of that, he was going to do more on Saturday. He come to me, he was shaking afterwards, and he said, we're not doing any more of that. He said, that about gave me a heart attack. I was disturbed by it, too. I was on my pew going, yeah, kill him, yeah! So I was pretty concerned about it, too, you know. But do some of our boys good to get an old-fashioned pop in the mouth every once in a while, you know. And if you've never had your bell rung, you know, blood splatter. Mother, stop looking at me like that. We got enough sissies in this world. It might not hurt some of them. Maybe get an old-fashioned. You know, some of these guys walk around so cocky, it's probably the best thing for them, just get old-fashioned thrash. It changed your life. It changed your attitude, amen. So, all right, enough of that. I feel like this service is going to the devil now, so I got to pray and try to ask the Lord to rescue it right now. So let's ask the Lord to be with us. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness to us. And Lord Jesus, we are just thrilled. Thrilled to be here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, thrilled what you're going to do in our lives. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that all through this month of February, you'll stir a church. Now, I believe with all my heart that I'm a pastor and a member of a church that has a burden for missionaries and for the mission field and for the world. But Lord, we want to have a greater vision. We want to be more deeply stirred. And so please do all these things in our life, Lord. We pray for that and ask that you would. And Lord, be with Brother Lawrence. Be with his wife, Lord. And Lord, minister through them and to them today. And Lord, we ask your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. If you're a visitor here, we're thrilled to have you. And if you'll simply slip up your hand, our ushers have a visitor's packet they'd like to place in your hand. Do we have any visitors here today? And please, Brother Townsley, give one to Brother Lawrence. They're okay. Brother Townsley, give one to Brother Lawrence. They're all right. I want him to have one. Anybody else visiting? Oh, we have back here in the back. Wonderful. And your name, ma'am? Oh, well, hey, great. He's a celebrity here at our church, so we're glad that you're here with us. That's wonderful. And welcome to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me get through the announcements so we can get this turned over to Brother Lawrence as quickly as possible. By the way, he's going to be showing a presentation, PowerPoint presentation about the ministry this morning. You'll all get to see that, and then bring in the message, and so this is good. And now, tonight at 6:15, I will need to meet with the deacons for an agenda meeting. At 6 o'clock, we'll have adult choir practice. At 6 o'clock, we'll have our youth meeting. Brother Lawrence will be speaking to our teenagers. Please be there and be on time, young people. 7 o'clock p.m., our preaching service tonight, and that'll be good. And then on Wednesday, 3:30, we have youth soul winning. 6:15, our youth choir practice. 6:15, our children's choir practice. Now, our children's choir will be performing tonight. They will be singing tonight, and we need them to be at the church at 6:30 tonight for practice. And be sure that they're dressed as they're supposed to be when they sing. That's the children's choir, so don't forget that. They'll be singing in this evening service, and they need to be here at 6:30 for practice tonight. And then on Saturday at 9:15, our adult soul visitation and soul winning efforts. As I mentioned already, we're kicking off an exciting month where we're going to put the emphasis on missions. And we have on the schedule Sunday, February 12th, next Sunday, Brother Dave Carney with BIMI will be here. On Wednesday the 15th, Brother Jim Payne, the Dominican Republic, will be here. On the 19th, Brother Jeremy Renz, Bearing Precious Seed. And then on February 26th, one of the missionaries we already support, Brother Lou DeFelt Antonio, will be here in presenting church planting. So don't forget that. Also, after the service tonight, all those interested in helping out with our Operation Thank Event program, I'm going to need to meet also with ladies. We are going to provide desserts for the troops next Saturday. And so if you would be interested in helping out with that, I'm going to have a meeting after the service so that we'll give you more information about all those things. Also, don't forget that this coming Saturday, we will meet here at 2 o'clock p.m., 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a memorial service for Brother Robert Petz, who just passed away this past week. Let's not forget that, folks, okay? That's important that we do that. And then our Valentine banquet, if you haven't signed up for it, I need you to sign up today. We really need to have everyone sign up today. And, boy, come to this. I want you to come to this. You'll enjoy it. Monday, February 13th, 7 o'clock p.m. All the information is on the sign-up sheet in the back, the costs and the time. And we're going to have it right here in the Activities Building. Stoll's Country Inn is catering that. All you need to just show up and enjoy the program and sit down and eat a meal together and have a great time. And Pastor Kevin Albert and his wife will be our guests that evening, and Brother Kevin will be bringing the message. And also, let me just make this announcement because I want to get you the information as quickly as possible. And I'm sorry about these date changes. The only problem about trying to, at the beginning of the year, give you a half year's worth of dates is things do happen. Sometimes we have to be flexible. But there was a mix-up concerning the teen camp week. And we will be taking the young people to teen camp down at Indian Creek Baptist Camp. But the date will be July 3rd through 7th. July 3rd through 7th. And I can't really do anything about that. That's when it has to happen, okay? July 3rd through 7th will be the date for our teen camp. All righty? And this time we'll have another song.
Number 208. Ushers, you come on this song, number 208.
Spring.
in prayer for offering.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank and praise you for this day. Thank you for the Sunday school hour and the blessing that it was to each one of us. Thank you for Brother Lawrence and his wife, and bless him. But Brother Lawrence is a preacher now and pretends the word, Lord, that you called him to, Father. Thank you for this family to take up this offering. Pray, Father, you bless and give to the people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Help me then in every tribulation.
gentleman introduce Brother John Lawrence. I'm so excited about him being our guest today, and we're thankful that he drove up from Hickson, Tennessee, and has come to give an entire weekend to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and we ought to be thankful for that, folks. We're appreciative of that. He's going to be with us tonight, as I mentioned, to speak in our youth hour. And then I do want to remind you of this. We're going to do this every week. Now, we're going to give every missionary that comes through a love offering from our missions account. But also, I want our people to have a chance to express their appreciation to each of these four missionaries as they come in. And so, since he's going to be with us all day tonight after the service, we're going to take a special offering. Now, we'll go ahead and take our regular offering tonight, our tithes and offerings. But then after the service is concluded, we're going to take a special offering for the Lawrences. And we ought to, Blessed Hope, always be willing to express appreciation in a tangible way for folks that come through and are a blessing to us. So keep that in mind. Prayerfully consider that. Whatever the Lord would have you to do would be fine and right and wonderful to keep that in mind. And Brother Lawrence, if you'll come at this time, we're thrilled that you're here. And I may give you a moment to, J.R., since you're up, would you help him move that table where he needs it? And maybe I'll give you a moment to get that set up. And I thought tonight also what I might do, if Brother Lawrence, I didn't ask him about this, so I'm going to put him on the spot now, but this evening's service, we will sing just a song, and then I'd like to have him come up and maybe do just about 10 or 15 minutes worth of question and answer time with you, because this matter of reach, and by the way, it's interesting, he's educating me just by me talking to him last night, but he said something about the, do you have Jewish, and he even asked you a second ago, how many of you have a contact with a Jewish person? And he said, most of them do, they just don't know it. And a lot of times the doctor you may go to see, the eye doctor, you just don't know. You know, they don't wear a little, you know, not all of them wear a beanie. And not all of them wear a sign around saying, I'm Jewish. But you ought to be ready and make sure that you're educated, because there is a unique way that you have to present the gospel and you approach these folks. But we ought to be involved in it as God opens doors for us personally. And I want him to talk a little bit, and we'll see what he preaches on, what he says this morning. But tonight, it may give you a quick opportunity. It won't take a long time, 10, 12 minutes. If you've got some questions you'd like to talk to him about, we'll do that evening service tonight.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to turn it over to you, brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's a privilege to be here with you, and we praise the Lord that we can be out in churches. You know, I'm kind of stuck in my training center a lot there because we have a lot of things going on. And I love to get out into churches and share the work of Jewish missions. And I hope this morning we can give you a burden for reaching Jewish people for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Dr. Gardenhouse used to say when he was the president of the mission, that everything we do has as a single purpose to win one Jewish soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've maintained that focus, I think. And I would like to just tell you about our magazine. We have a magazine. We publish it every month. This is the introductory one, but we have publishes every 2 months, pardon me. And we'd love for you to have it. There's a sign-up sheet out there. It will be free. There's no charge. We send it to people for free as a ministry of the mission later on. We ask you to decide if you want to keep getting it, then there is a little subscription, but for the initial time, it is perfectly free. Several issues they'll send you. And then we have different literature out there. I hope you'll take some tracks. There's a Passover tract out there. Passover's coming up. It's in April. And if you have a Jewish friend, you can send them a Passover card and one of those tracts, for instance, and it'll give them the gospel message. This is a little thing that you can insert sometimes in a letter you might write to a Jewish friend called Messiah Revealed. On the back is Isaiah 53. No greater passage in the Old Testament to show a Jewish person Jesus Christ than Isaiah 53. Many Jewish people that we know that have been saved, the first passage that touches their heart and life is reading Isaiah 53. They can't get away from it, the fact that it's talking about Jesus Christ. And then, too, we have training programs at our training center. That's kind of what I do in the ministry there. My main focus is on training and education. In the summer, we have a a four-day program. This year it's August 7th to 10th. We always do it just before the schools go back so we can get Bible college students to come. If you're interested, plan to come. It's a four-day thing. A lot of our missionaries come. It's an educational time talking about Judaism and how to win Jewish people to Christ. There is a whole series every day, a series on Jewish evangelism. Lots of good things. One of our missionaries does all the symbolism of the tabernacle during one session. So we have lots of good things during that week. And we have people who come with different things in mind. But you're welcome to come if you'd like more training in reaching Jewish people. Pastor said, was talking about Ann Anderson, who's that widow lady who is out on deputation. She's over in North Carolina this weekend. I happen to be also. You know, we're a small mission. We only have about 45 families with our mission because we're so specialized. But I'm also, I wear several hats. And one of my other hats is that I'm the deputation director. So I kind of oversee all the missionaries on deputation. And may I tell you that the three American missionaries we have on deputation right now are all over 40 years old. So you're never too old to get involved in missions. One of our missionaries going to Phoenix, Arizona on deputation, Jeff Hartzman, he's Jewish actually, Jewish believer. He's 45 years old, just finished Bible college a couple of years ago, and he has got five kids, and he's right now he's out in Arizona. That's where he's going, to Phoenix, Arizona. But he's out there in churches right now. We have another missionary on deputation. He's 57 years old. That's my age. I'm the same age. And he and his wife are out there driving around from crisscrossing the country to get his 25% of his support right now, I think. And he's going to Boston, Massachusetts. 250,000 Jewish people in Boston, wow. Massachusetts, wow. In the suburbs. And then Anne, of course, is about... Anne is getting close to 60, I think, but she's in her late 50s, and she's a widow, and she heard David Piles, who's our field director in Israel, preach in her church one Sunday. She surrendered to Jewish missions. Last fall, she went to Israel for a month with Project Nehemiah, and she started deputation just January 1. She's in North Carolina this weekend in a church. She's been doing very well. Sometimes it's hard for single ladies to get meetings. A lot of pastors don't want to kind of invite them. They don't really see the plan, but she will be a church planning assistant, helping David in the work there, but also working with Project Nehemiah and that outreach over there. They really need people right now over there for that. And so you can see the Lord is really using people, not just Bible college guys. We want them too. We have some young missionaries too with our board. We want them too, but we find that a lot of older missionaries do well in Jewish missions. Why? Because they're more seasoned in life. They have a better and easier way. They stick to things a little more sometimes. They've been through some hard times and trials. And I want to tell you, Jewish missions is not for the faint-hearted. If you've got a faint heart, you don't want to be in Jewish missions. They're tough people to deal with. It's often over a long time before they get saved. And so you need a lot of stick-to-itiveness to be involved in Jewish missions. I'd like to share with you this morning's PowerPoint for IBJM, just a little presentation about the history of the mission, what we're doing right now, and then what we see for the future. And you'll see here a little bit of the Garten House Training Center, a picture of the building and so forth and so on, some of the things we do there through the Garten House Training Center as well. So here we go.
I can personally testify to the promise given in this verse. As a pastor, I supported International Board of Jewish Missions for many years. And then at the urging of the mission's founder, I joined the IBJM staff in 1971, and since then have truly experienced the Lord's blessings upon my life. For almost 60 years, IBJM has been reaching out to Jewish people as commanded in Romans 1:16. It was the passion of IBJM's founders to see precious Jewish souls come to know the Messiah as Lord and Savior. Our founder, Jacob Gartenhaus, was born in Austria in 1896 into a strict Jewish home. His father was a rabbi. After coming to America, Jacob was led to the Messiah by his older brother while living in New York City. Jacob married Lillian Brown in Toronto in 1922, and shortly after, the couple moved to Atlanta, Georgia. It was in the year 1949 that Dr. and Mrs. Gardenhouse established the International Board of Jewish Missions and the Independent Baptist Faith Mission. The mission's headquarters remained in Atlanta until 1971, when the mission relocated to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and a new home office was erected. The Messianic Museum was opened in 1978 and has attracted countless visitors from around the world. After 26 years in Chattanooga, IBJM outgrew its facilities, and the mission relocated to a much larger complex in Hickson, Tennessee. In 1999, the mission celebrated 50 years of ministry and opened its new larger facilities to the public. In order to provide specialized training to workers, construction began on the Gardenhouse Training Center and was completed and officially dedicated in May 2004. Though Dr. Gardenhouse went to be with the Lord in 1984, IBJM continues to place a strong emphasis on working through the local church. IBJM is a faith mission, and we depend upon the Lord and the people of God to keep the work going. As our founders intended, IBJM uses Romans 1:16 as our watchword in taking the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
God's hand of blessing has truly been upon International Board of Jewish Missions since its founding so many years ago, and it is evident that God continues to bless this great ministry even today.
When Dr. Jacob Gardenhouse founded IBJM over 50 years ago, he had one thought in mind, that of winning his people, the Jews, to Christ. Like the Apostle Paul, he was consumed with the burden of seeing them saved. Today, IBJM is continuing in the footsteps of our founder as we share the gospel message with the more than 13 million Jews scattered throughout the world. One of the ways that IBJM is sharing its burden for God's chosen people is by hosting evangelistic trips to different cities and countries that have large Jewish populations. For years, IBJM has been taking pastors, laymen, and students to countries like France, Israel, and Ukraine in order to share Jesus, the Messiah, with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. One-on-one witnessing, track and Bible distribution, and just being a good testimony are some of the ways the gospel is shared with the Jewish people. Praise the Lord, many have been won to Christ thanks to these special teams. Not only are the evangelistic teams a source of witness to our Jewish friends, but the IBJM Messianic Museum and Gift Shop, located at our Hickson, Tennessee headquarters, have been used of the Lord as a unique source of contact with those, both Jew and Gentile, searching for the truth concerning the Messiah of Israel. For years, our state-of-the-art printing department has been printing gospel tracts and literature aimed at reaching Jews for Christ. Not only do we make these materials available to our missionaries, but we also encourage pastors and churches to use these printed tools in reaching their Jewish contacts for Christ. Our daily radio broadcast, The Everlasting Nation, hosted by Dr. Orman Norwood, along with Bible teacher Dr. Fred Affman, has been encouraging Christians to witness to their Jewish friends for over 30 years. Not only do we have the Everlasting Nation radio program, but we also have a bi-monthly magazine entitled The Everlasting Nation. Magazine editor Dr. Orman Norwood uses this evangelistic tool to teach God's people about Israel and the Jew and the importance of winning them to Christ. As you can see, IBJM is carrying on Dr. Gardenhouse's burden of winning Jews to Christ. However, for us to continue until the Lord comes, it will take trained workers willing to give their lives to evangelize the Jew. In Matthew 9, 37 and 38, the Lord said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest."
IBJM strives daily to share the gospel of the Messiah with God's chosen people, but there is one key ingredient necessary for the present and future success of IBJM's ministry of winning Jews to Christ.
At IBJM, we recognize that we are a vital part of God's plan to evangelize his chosen people, the Jews. In order to expand our witness and to win more Jewish people to Christ before his return, it is important that we recruit and train new workers. IBJM recently inaugurated the Gartenhouse Training Center as an instrument to be used to accomplish these goals. It is a beautiful facility ideal for training seminars and educational conferences designed to prepare people with different interests for the work of Jewish missions. A primary goal is to train missionaries, that is, full-time workers committed to winning Jews to our Lord Jesus Christ. But they can't meet all the needs everywhere. So we are also seeking to train pastors and local church members with the goal of encouraging local churches to initiate an organized outreach to the Jewish community. Ask yourself, what is my church doing especially to reach God's chosen people with the gospel? It is also vital to train individuals who have a fervent desire to reach their Jewish friends and contacts with the saving message of the gospel. Many of you watching this presentation right now have such Jewish acquaintances, but perhaps you don't know how to approach them with the good news of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Our vision is to help you to be prepared for those divine appointments. Our four-day focus on Jewish missions is a program tailored to meet the needs of those seeking full-time service in Jewish missions. Others attending may simply wish to have a more effective witness with Jewish acquaintances. It is held every summer right here in our training center. Other conferences and seminars provide training for pastors and local church workers, specialized candidate schools for committed missionary candidates, and training seminars for the participants in our short-term missions trips to win Jewish people to Christ around the world. In order to effectively witness to Jewish people, some background in the Jewish history, culture, tradition, and religion is essential. It is important to learn how to use the Tanakh, the Old Testament scriptures, to talk with them about the person and the work of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish feasts and holidays are all about Christ, but they are blind to their true meaning, and few Christians today would be able to help them to see the Lord in their own celebrations. Our desire is to help you to be confident and comfortable in sharing all these rich truths of the Bible that relate to the Jewish people and their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look to the future, the work of winning Jewish people to Christ is never easy. It will require a new generation of missionary workers, persuaded of God's call and burdened to win precious Jewish souls to Jesus Christ. It will also be the work of engaging churches and individual believers in a serious commitment to reach Jewish communities and individual Hebrew friends and neighbors who have no doubt never heard a clear presentation of the gospel message.
IBJM is on the cutting edge of Jewish missions worldwide. In order for us to continue in this great ministry to which God has called us, we need your help. Ask yourself this question: how would God have me be personally involved in the ministry of IBJM? You might be wondering, how can I help? We all can pray. We all can give. And yes, some can even go.
Several missions trips this year. If you're interested in the missions trip, I understand you go somewhere together every 4 years, but maybe there's someone looking to go to the mission field this summer. We have a trip to France in June 1st, I think it's June 6th to 19th. We have training session down at the Gardenhouse Training Center for a couple of days, and then over to France, Paris. There are 350,000 Jews in the city of Paris, and a tremendous Orthodox quarter in the city of Paris. I've been there many times, passing out literature and so forth. Some of the stories I could tell you, I don't have time to share them today, but if the Apostle Paul wanted to add a chapter to the book of Acts, Acts 29, I say that would make a wonderful chapter there, some of our experiences over there in France. So,
Brother Lawrence, would you flip the switch?
Oh, sorry. Sure. Better? Okay, hello.
There we go.
Okay, good. Anyway, we have that trip to France going in June. We have another trip to the Ukraine going in July and early August. And the Ukraine, we've had wonderful results. The Jews in the Eastern European countries are very open to the gospel, less so now than they were 10 years ago, but IBGM has been going there since 1993. We've gotten a relationship with local churches there now. And actually, in the last couple of years, what we've been doing is training the local churches there in Kharkov, in the city of Kharkov, to reach Jewish people. And we have a great team that goes. This summer we're taking a student team as well. We're taking a mixed team of pastors and our missionaries and then students, and they'll be doing some things together. They'll be going to a Bible Institute, and that'll be a great experience, I'm sure, in Kremenchuk. And so it's something to think about. And then there's Israel. We always have the volunteer program in Israel with Project Nehemiah. All year round, you can go anytime because we always need people. In fact, the program is getting so large, we're now taking out baskets to Jewish immigrants in 10 different Israeli cities. It's getting so big that the missionaries we have there almost can't keep up with it themselves. They almost have to have me over here sending them volunteers. That's part of my job, too. I'm the one who processes all the volunteers for Project Nehemiah. So if you're interested, you let me know, and I'll be happy to tell you how you can go. We also allow you to raise funds as a missions trip if you want to, if you're a young person. So your church and maybe some other churches could help you to go if you don't have the funds yourself. So think about those things, and there's some brochures out there on the back table. This morning I'd like to share with you a message starting out in Romans 1:16, but we're going to jump around a little bit. And it's a message simply entitled, Why Jewish Evangelism? Why Jewish Missions? And of course, Romans 1:16 says this. Apostle Paul writing, he says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's pray this morning. Father, we do ask your blessing on your word. We pray that you'll open our hearts to receive the message that you have for us today, and then to act on it, Lord, to be obedient to whatever you might call us to do. Maybe there's someone here, Lord, who's not saved, maybe another who's searching for your will for their lives. Lord, I pray that you'll do something today and change our lives in some way through the power of your word. Today we ask in Jesus' name, amen. It's a tremendous thing, really, to see a Jewish person come to Christ. I was in a church in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada, last fall in October at a missions conference way up there on the northern reaches of Canada, and they speak French up there, too, so that was kind of neat. I got to speak French a little bit. But in that church, here all the way up there in Canada, not a very big Jewish population, but there was a Jewish man who got saved in that church about 2 months before I got there, and his wife got saved, she's Jewish too, and his daughter got saved, she's Jewish too, and they have a son, he didn't get saved, but he's a little small yet. But it was tremendous. And that church, after seeing this Jewish family, and they started attending the church there, I got to meet with them. They were out of town for the first couple of days, but the last day of the conference, I got to meet with them and got to answer a lot of their questions. They had a zillion questions. They'd been saved only 2 months. And got to talk with them for about an hour and a half and to answer a lot of questions for them. But his name is Ty Ravine. You pray for him and his wife. I forget his wife's name now, But the thing I wanted to share with you is just that because that Jewish family got saved in that church, they had a special
interest, burden, and enthusiasm to reach Jewish people for Christ. Because they saw that it could be done. That God was still working in the lives of Jewish people today and bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And so it does happen. Now, I can't argue or deny the fact that it's a very tough mission field. I worked in France and labored in France for almost 15 years. And France is a tough mission field. French Jews are an even tougher mission field. But it's not, as I said, it's not for the faint-hearted. But the encouraging thing to see a family like that in a local church, an independent Baptist church, gotten saved. They'd just gotten baptized a couple of weeks before I got there. So they clearly got the message of the next step they needed to take. And the Lord just used that to excite that church about Jewish missions. Now, my wife and I haven't been in full-time Jewish missions, but for the last two or three years or so. But I mentioned to you that we had been involved with the IBJM work over in France through our Bible Institute, and we had our students work with them. And we had Jewish evangelism in our course there in our Bible school. And so, but we are kind of still new at the full-time work of Jewish missions ourselves. But you know, in my short time in this ministry now based in Chattanooga as we are, I've been startled to discover that many myths exist about winning Jews to Christ. Did you know that? There are a lot of myths. And some believe that because the Jews are God's chosen people, now I've heard Christians say this, that they must all already be saved. They're okay. They're not okay. They need to be saved just like you and I did. That's a myth. Then I've come across some people, I've talked with others, who believe that God is finished with Israel and the church has replaced her. That's called covenant theology. Now, there aren't too many Baptists who believe that, but some do. And that's false, too. God has a plan. Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. It's all about God's future plan for the Jewish people there, not to mention the book of Revelation. But God still has a plan for them. God still wants them to be saved. Now, there are others that find it hard to believe that it would be worth trying to reach the Jewish people because they're so often so hardened against the gospel. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. Some of them really hate Jesus. And so, but that's not true either. That's actually true of a lot of people. I have to say, I was 33 years old. I was pretty hardened. I was pretty rebellious when God saved me. And thank God for a faithful pastor who came every week for 6 months till I finally went out to his church and then got saved a few weeks later. But, you know, if we go by that logic, you know, we dismiss about three-quarters of the people around us today. It seems less and less that people want to hear anything about Jesus, about the gospel, even here in our own country. Even, I've had the experience of knocking doors. Did you notice that some of you that are older, knocking doors today is a lot different than it was 20 or 25 years ago. There's a lot less open doors. People will let you in and want to talk. You know, they want to get that door closed these days as fast as they can get it closed. And so they are hardened, but so are a lot of other people, and we still are commanded to take the gospel to them. Some wonder why there are not any Jewish people to speak of in our churches today. Now, that's another message. If you heard my message on Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, I have a preaching message on that too. But, that, you know, partially that's our own fault. Now, you folks are a little bit excused because you're in an area where there aren't very many Jewish people. So you would have a tough time getting Jewish people into your church. But there are a lot of Baptist churches right smack in the middle of Jewish communities, very close by. They have absolutely no purposeful outreach to reach those Jewish people. And so that's a little bit partly our own fault there. Still others are fearful of saying or doing the wrong thing. Like I mentioned this morning, they often think in witnessing to their Jewish context that the Jewish people know more than they do about the Bible. That's false. Jewish people don't know anything about the Bible to speak of. And they feel inadequate for that kind of ministry. Sometimes we don't know the Old Testament very well. Brother Affman, who does our radio ministry, pray for him because he just had a stroke recently. He's not doing very well. But he does our radio ministry. Brother Rathman, he's 83 years old, by the way. He's been doing it for 32 years. But he does almost 90% of the teaching he does in our radio broadcast is Old Testament, the Old Testament prophets and the Pentateuch and things like that, to show Christians, particularly, how they can really use the Old Testament to speak to Jewish people. And the Old Testament is very rich, and we often neglect the study of the Old Testament. And we should concentrate more on it, especially if we want to really be a witness to Jewish people. But believe me, I feel inadequate too. You always feel inadequate dealing with Jewish people. They often have so many objections, and you have to figure out how to answer them. But you know what? The Bible has the answer. You can give them the answer if you'll study a little bit. And, you know, we sow the seed. You know, just tell them to read Isaiah 53 and see if they'll do it. Sometimes they'll do it just out of curiosity. There's a book out in the back table there called Famous Hebrew Christians. I think there's about 35 little biographies of famous Hebrew Christians. Most of them went into the ministry after they got saved, so that'll tell you what the Lord will do, just like Dr. Gartenhaus did. But you know, about half of them, as I read it, maybe a little more than half even, half of those people in that book, the first thing that touched their hearts was Isaiah 53. And they couldn't get away from it. The Spirit of God wouldn't let them escape that passage after they read it. Now, one undeniable problem is the general apathy of many churches in reaching out to the Jewish community with the gospel. And I think we need to take on that responsibility in our churches today. We need to accept that and say, we haven't done the job as we need to do it, and we ought to start thinking about ways, how can we impact the Jewish community with the gospel? And even here, you can do that through supporting missionaries to the Jewish people, maybe supporting Project Nehemiah, doing something like that. You can have a part. It's a great ministry to minister to Jewish people. I had a pastor call me a few months ago, and I liked his philosophy. He said, well, the budget's been going south, been going sour. He said, things have been going well for us here in the church lately. And he said, so I figured it was time to take on a Jewish missionary. And I think the Lord will bless that. And he called me and asked me to send him someone. So I did. And he took that person on, by the way. So, you know, but you know, the Bible is true. And it says, you know, I will bless them that bless thee, God said to Abraham. And so we can believe that promise. Now let me share with you then three reasons then this morning for Jewish evangelism through the local church. First, here in Romans 1:16, we see that we should be involved in Jewish evangelism because of the biblical mandate. We have a biblical mandate here. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, there are a lot of preachers I've talked to who like to tell me why first doesn't mean first there. But the last time I knew, first means first. And we use that as an excuse to get ourselves out of the fact that we really don't have a plan to reach the Jew. The priority of the gospel is to the Jew first. The Greek word for first there is the word proton. I'm not a Greek scholar by any means. I hardly even know very much about it, but you know, you look things up these days pretty good. And it's the Greek word proton. Dr. Norwood has a message all about this, by the way. And it is the same word that's used in Matthew 6:33. Now, you know what Matthew 6:33 says, right? Seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Now, does that mean first in that verse? Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom. Then why doesn't it mean first in this verse? Because it does mean first in this verse. It said to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And most of our missionary, by the way, are involved in reaching Gentiles too. In fact, they usually reach more Gentiles than Jews, because that's the way Gentiles are just more open to the gospel, usually, where they are. So, but we reach Gentiles as well in our ministries. But here it says, to the Jew first. Now, the reality is that the Jewish people are lost. They're dying. they're going to hell without knowing the Messiah.
Yes.
They're not all saved because they're God's chosen people. Did you know they weren't all saved in the Old Testament, even when they were wandering around the wilderness? Many of them weren't saved, even then, because they didn't have a relationship with the Lord. Most of the history, Israel was apostate. They had wicked kings. And you know that history from the Old Testament. And so Paul had a burden. He expressed it in Romans 10:1. Look at that verse. The Apostle Paul there in Romans 10:1. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved." Here it is. "Is that they might be saved." Pardon me. So Paul's desire, his burden of his heart, was that that they might be saved. And did you ever notice? I don't think we notice very often, but all the verses we use, a lot of them, from the Romans road to lead people to salvation, are right in the middle of this context, the Jewish part of Romans. Romans 9, 10, and 11. Many of those verses are from Romans 10. And they're right in the middle of that Jewish part of the book of Romans. Now he goes on to say in verses 2 and 3 there that they have plenty of zeal for religion, but they have no real knowledge of God. What they have is their own righteousness. That's what they're depending on. They're without the righteousness of Christ that alone can save. But they have plenty of religion, but they have no relationship with God. So they're missing the boat entirely. Now, the Jewish religion, if you know anything about it, is full of elaborate rituals, especially in the Orthodox community. Endless rules, endless regulations, more laws than they've come up with, more laws than you can shake a stick at. Out of one verse in Deuteronomy, they can make it, you know, out of not kindling a fire, now they make it that you can't turn off a light switch, you know, things like that. And so they have lots of religion, but they have no righteousness in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the only righteousness that gets you to heaven. And what they need to do is trust the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need that righteousness imputed to their account, credited to their account, so that they can be saved by simply believing on Him. But, of course, they find it hard to do that. Robert Murray McShane, you know Robert Murray McShane, maybe, the great Scottish preacher of the 19th century, didn't live a very long life. He lived only a short time. He died before he was 30. But he had a very powerful ministry, and he was very concerned with the Jews. He even made a big trip to Jerusalem and to survey that area to figure out how the church could reach the Jews. In fact, it was Robert Murray McShane. You know, the church did next to nothing from the time of Christ all the way down to the 19th century to reach Jewish people. They mostly persecuted them, didn't try to reach them. And Robert Murray McShane had a big role in the 18th century with the church in Scotland establishing a mission to the Jews. That was the very first mission to the Jews over there in England and Scotland in those days, in the middle of the 19th century. And Robert Murray McShane loved the Jewish people, and he was devoted to reaching them. He also was known for his powerful gift of painting a vivid picture of hell. Somebody once said, when he preached about hell, it was as if somebody slid open a little window on hell, and you could see right down in there with people suffering down there. And Robert Murray McShane had that burden for about lost people in general, but he had a special burden about lost Jewish people. And when he preached, he always ended up in tears. You know, when we preach about hell, we shouldn't preach with a lot of pride and anger. We should preach with tears, because that's something to cry about, to cry over, that people are going to spend eternity in that terrible place. And we ought to have a compassion about that for lost people. And that's how Robert Murray McShane was. Now, he preached that in light of the fact that he understood that many of his loved ones, many of his friends and neighbors were going to spend eternity in that terrible place. Now, you know, the Holocaust ended 60 years ago last year. And, you know, we dedicated a new display last year because of that in our Messianic Museum to the Holocaust. And there were 6 million Jews that were brutally murdered by the Nazi regime in World War II. 6 million. And yet, with all that ugly horror where they were tortured and experimented on and all sorts of things, you know, the far greater tragedy is the spiritual tragedy. That all of those people that died there, or most of them, the vast majority of them, died without knowing Christ. That's the spiritual tragedy, and that's the greater tragedy of the Holocaust. And so there's an urgent need for the church to renew its commitment to take the gospel to the Jew first in obedience to the biblical command, because Jews everywhere around the world, 14 million, are still dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ today. Secondly, why Jewish evangelism? Because of the apostolic example. I believe the apostles in the book of Acts give us the example. Paul didn't just preach and write Romans 1:16. He practiced it. And we see that in the book of Acts. Peter, for instance, preached to who? He preached first to the Jews. We see that for quite a long time in the book of Acts, the gospel went almost exclusively to the Jews. We have a Jewish Bible, as I mentioned this morning. We have a Jewish Savior. The Messiah of Israel is the Savior of the world that we proclaim through the church today. Paul said in Romans 11:13 that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. But his charge from the Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, he carried out very well, in the book of Acts, chapter 9, look at it. Sometimes we don't look at things too carefully in the Bible. And in Acts chapter 9, and verse 15, this is the words of Jesus here. And of course, this is the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Saul becomes the Apostle Paul. And Jesus is speaking to him. And actually, now in this passage, he's speaking to Ananias, and he says, "For I will show him," that's Paul, "how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." But then look back at verse 15. It says, "Go thy way, for he," the Apostle Paul, "is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings," and who? "And the children of Israel." So the Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but he also had a charge to take the gospel to the children of Israel. And none of the apostles, if you read the scriptures carefully, ever forgot God's heart for his chosen people. Look with me, if you will, a little further on there in Acts chapter 13. And we're just going to take a little tour of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. And verses 4 and 5, now this is the chapter where the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, of course, are being sent out as missionaries now by the local church there at Antioch. They're being sent. And look what it says in verses 4 and 5 here, the apostolic example now. "So they," that's Paul and Barnabas, "being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God," where? "In the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." So the Apostle Paul went first to the synagogues of the Jews. Now, there was an exciting trip we took to Ukraine a few years back, before I was with the mission, actually, but the people still talk about it, where a couple of our missionaries got to preach in a synagogue in the Ukraine. Isn't that tremendous? And they said they were just had this thrill, and they thought of these passages in the book of Acts. And a rabbi actually invited them to preach, and they were actually able to share the gospel. They had to do it kind of carefully. They would have gotten tossed out, but then the Apostle Paul got tossed out quite often too. So that wouldn't have been so bad after all. But they were able to preach the gospel in a synagogue. And one of our magazine issues a few years back had it on the front as a story. But here they are going into the synagogues of the Jews, and Paul just does this at every turn in the book of Acts. Look with me, if you will. They're going to Antioch of Pisidia now in Acts 13. And in look at it, verse 46, a little further on. It says there in verse 46 of Acts 13, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said," and I want you to notice this verse, because this is the worst verse I find people really aren't too familiar with. "It was necessary," look at that word, "necessary, that the word of God should first have been spoken to you." And who is he talking to? He's talking to the Jews. And we see that he practiced what he wrote to the Jew first. And but then he says, seeing he put it from you, that is, you're rejecting it, he says, "and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life." He's saying that to the Jews. Now, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, be careful when you're looking at the scriptures. And so they go and preach to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles, verse 48, heard this, they were glad. So they had a good response from the Gentiles. They had kind of a negative response from the Jews. But now some people use this passage to say, well, see there, now God is finished with the Jews. You know, they wrote them off and they went on to the Gentiles. Well, that's not really what this passage says. It's saying in that city, they had enough with those Jews. They tried to reach them and they couldn't reach them. So they went on to the Gentiles in that city. And then, of course, they moved along. It says they shook off the dust off their feet in verse 51 against them and came unto where? Iconium. Now, the problem with that argument that God is finished with the Jews comes along in the first part of chapter 14.
Right. That's right.
Because the Apostle Paul says in 14:1, now they're in a new city now, they're in Iconium, they've gone on the road here. And what does it say there in verse 1 of chapter 14, just right after that whole passage we just read? "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews." So they go right back to the synagogue. And they're still trying to reach the Jews. "And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews," and this is the exciting part, "and also the Greeks, believed." So they went to Iconium, and there were Jewish people who got saved at Iconium. Isn't that terrific? And, you know, we get the Bible sometimes so messed up because we only read part of it. You know, a lot of people read Acts 13, well, there they are. They threw out the Jews, they're finished with them. But, and if you go all the way along through the book of Acts, we don't have time to go through all that today, or we'll be here all afternoon. But Acts 17, Acts 18, Acts 19, Acts 20, Acts 28, Paul is always going first to the Jews, to the synagogues of the Jews. Just look with me at one more verse in Acts chapter 17. Now we're at Thessalonica, and they're going to have an uproar at Thessalonica, huh? And it says, "Now when they had passed," verse 1, "through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul," look at this phrase now, small phrases in the New Testament are very important,
right.
It says, "as his manner was." What does that mean? That was his habit, wherever he went, to go to the synagogue first. And he went into the synagogue there, "as his manner was," went in unto them, and what did he do? 3 Sabbath days for 3 weeks. And he even preached to them on the Sabbath day, because remember, the Jews were still meeting on the Sabbath. They hadn't figured out that worship was changed over to Sunday now because of the resurrection of our Lord. But they're still meeting on the Sabbath, and they still do today. And you know, even in Israel today, we have to have church services on the Sabbath. Did you know that? Now, we're not Seventh-day Adventists or anything. But the fact is, in Israel, the Sabbath is the day off, just like Sunday is here. Sunday is a working day. So if you had services on Sunday in Israel, guess what? Nobody could come to church because they have to go to work. So Israel, Sunday is not sacred in Israel like it is here in our country. Of course, it's less so than it used to be. But anyway, what they do is they start the service after sundown on Saturday. And guess what? In the Jewish economy, after sundown on Saturday is what? Really Sunday. Because the Jews count from dusk one day to dusk the next day. So really they do meet on Sunday, but it's just Saturday night. But in Israel it's a Sunday. It's a meeting on Sunday. Friday night would be the Sabbath. That's when the Sabbath starts, in Israel, of course. So anyway, that's a little sidetrack. But here they are
he goes unto them 3 Sabbath days, and he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So there you have it. Now, if you want to go through the whole book of Acts, you will find many other references to Paul going to the synagogues and preaching the gospel. But there is this priority that he carries out in his ministry. So we can see this apostolic example to the Jew first. One last thing I want to point out to you. In Acts chapter 28, verse 17, Paul is in prison, of course, there at Rome. And it came to pass, he's under house arrest, I believe, there. And after 3 days, Paul called, verse 17 of Acts 28, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. So he called the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem unto the hands of the Romans." So there he's gathered the Jews, and the Jews are speaking against him in verse 19. And in verse 20, look at what he says. He says, "For this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain."
Wow.
Isn't that a tremendous passage? "For the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." Now, are we willing to follow Paul's example today? It doesn't seem like it too often. We seem to be way far gone from this example that Paul gives us in the book of Acts. Shouldn't the church today be the hope of Israel? And too often, we've neglected Israel. Many times, the institutional church has persecuted Israel. And so we need to think about that and be careful about how we conduct ourselves with regard to the chosen people of God. They need to be reached. And if the church isn't willing to reach them, then who else is going to reach them? And the answer, of course, is they won't be reached. Because it's the responsibility and the business of the local church to reach out to the Jewish people to evangelize them. Then finally, the final thing, why Jewish evangelism? Because of the promise of the Word of God. Because we ought to be claiming the promises of the Word of God, and that we find in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. I'll just read verse 3. You know the call of Abraham in Genesis 12. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And verse 3 says there, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And of course, we have been blessed through Abraham, because through him came the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he indeed is our Savior and also the Messiah of Israel. And of course, there is a blessing for people, and I believe also for churches, that will bless the Jew, that will bless Israel. And what greater way could there be to bless the Jew than to share with them the promise of the gospel?
Amen.
And the fulfillment of the promised Messiah in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jewish people have suffered in many ways over the years as a scattered nation. But you know, even well before the time of Christ. But those who have persecuted them, though, have suffered a lot more in the end. Look at Germany in World War II. Germany was flattened after World War II. And, you know, you can't get away with mistreating the people of God, even in unbelief. Look at Israel,
right.
1967 war, things
right.
like that. Israel beats them out every time. God is with them, even in their unbelief. Look back at Ezekiel 37, 38, talks about them being regathered as bones. You know, what's that? Well, it's being regathered in unbelief. That's what we see today. Now, there's a lot more to come in prophecy. Today, can't talk about prophecy. But it's just to say that we've been blessed in America because we blessed the Jew. You know, the Jewish people have never been safer nor prospered more in any foreign land ever as they have in America. They've been safe here. They've been protected here. And by and large, America has loved the Jews. Now, we have some incidents of anti-Semitism from time to time, but nowhere near what goes on elsewhere in the world.
But the greatest expression of love for the Jew would be to proclaim to them that God promised a suffering Messiah in the prophecy of Isaiah 53, and that Messiah has come. He's been here. And we know him, and we can share him with the Jew. And that's a great message that we have. In the New Testament, this is a tricky question, did Jesus ever claim to be the fulfillment of Isaiah 53? Do you know the answer to that? Anyone? No. Yes, he did. In Luke chapter 22:37, Jesus said that Isaiah 53 was fulfilled in him. Now, if you can get a Jewish person to look at the New Testament, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But if you can, look at Luke 22:37. And in Luke 22:37, Jesus is speaking. And he says, look at verse 36 first. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a scrip, he's sending them. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. And he's sending them out here. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Is that Isaiah 53? It surely is. Fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. That's what it says in Isaiah 53.
Right.
We must be willing to share that good news. Not be afraid. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. Even if you make a few errors, you know, if you're sharing the word of God, God always, you know, helps it to turn out the right way. Because it always touches them in some way. And you don't need to aggravate Jewish people. You know, with Jewish people too, you have to know when to start and when to stop. Sometimes just a little bit is enough. You know, it's like feeding somebody that has no appetite. You don't give them a great big meal. You give them a little bit at a time, and then hopefully their appetite grows. And then you can give them some more. So in summary then, we need to challenge the myths, and we need to be about the business of winning our Jewish friends and neighbors to Christ. And it's often a long and sometimes discouraging process. How many of you have Jewish friends and acquaintances? How many? A few people do. Well, make sure you have a witness with that person. Make sure you share Christ with them in some way. Send them a Passover card with a tract, or send them a Hanukkah card with a tract. We have tracts for Hanukkah too. God has not cast them away, it says in Romans 11:1-2. God has not cast away these people. He is still working with them. He's still trying to draw them to himself. And in Ephesians chapter 2, 11-22 that we studied this morning in Sunday school, Jews and Gentiles belong together in the local church. May I challenge you this morning to reach out to the Jewish people in a purposeful way? Maybe some you know, maybe in an organized outreach supporting Jewish missions or supporting some missionary projects to Jewish people. Your church will be blessed. Jewish and Gentile believers are fellow citizens of heaven, and they they should be fellow believers in the local church. That's where we all belong. I would ask you this morning to do a heart check. What is your church doing to reach Jewish people around the world? What are you personally doing to be a witness to his chosen ones for helping others to win them? Dr. Gartenhaus, the founder of our mission, used to say, as I mentioned this morning, that he was a completed Jew. And don't try to make them not Jewish. You know, Jewishness is a culture too, like Pastor said this morning. It's part of their heritage. You'll never make them not Jewish. And when churches try to do that, you know what it does? It drives them over there to that messianic movement. That's what it does. And don't do that. Let them be Jewish. You know, our church this year had a Hanukkah party to educate our people about Jewish things. That's another thing. People don't know that Hanukkah is mentioned in the Bible. Jesus was there at Hanukkah in the temple. John 10:22. You look it up, we won't look it up now, but John 10:22 mentions Hanukkah, the feast of the dedication, another name for Hanukkah. So it's in there. Now, some of their stories about Hanukkah aren't all quite, you don't know if they're true or not, but we don't need to be involved with that. But we can. That's part of their heritage. It's when the temple was cleansed from having been defiled and all of that sort of thing. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is no salvation in Judaism.
Right.
It's like any other religion. It can never satisfy the deepest longing of the human soul to be in a living relationship with God. It won't happen. That only comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And they need to know Jesus Christ. Judaism is just a religion. And like so many others, it's a religion of dead works. I close with this little illustration. I was in a church in Vermont last fall, and I met a man who's not Jewish, but he's married to a Jewish lady, and she is not saved. He's been saved for many years, but she has come to church on and off, but she's not very open anymore to the gospel. And he wanted me to share with me a couple of discs, compact discs of the music she likes. And he thought we would get to meet her, but we didn't. She wouldn't come to meet with us. But he gave me these discs, and they were what's called Jewish klezmer music. And it's Yiddish music. You may know a lot of Jewish people speak Yiddish, and not Hebrew. It's kind of a Germanic sort of language. And they have a lot of folk music in Yiddish. And this is totally worldly music. It has nothing to do with anything spiritual at all. But we were listening to it while we were at the missions conference, listening to these two discs in anticipation of maybe being able to meet her, and at least, you know, having been able to say that we'd listen to the music, this music she likes, and be able to talk to her about it. But as we were listening to it, and some of it's kind of bouncy and some of it's kind of mournful, that's kind of how Jewish music often is, but this particular song was very mournful. And I happened to look at the words, which are in Yiddish and in English, and the last verse, says this: "So carry on, my people, and this dance will be a good omen, and we will dance as our ancestors of yore, dance and rejoice, and the Messiah will come soon, and our people will dance in the land of Israel." And my eyes popped out, and I thought, wow, in the middle of this totally worldly music, there's this expression of longing for the Messiah to come.
Right.
And you know, we have the message, my friends, that the Messiah has come. Amen. And the Messiah is Amen. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he wants to be the Savior to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We have a message to share with Jewish people. And I would encourage you never, ever be ashamed or be fearful about lovingly but firmly confronting our Jewish friends with this life-giving truth, this message of the Messiah. I can tell you the response won't always be so great. They may lash out at you. And the message of the Messiah in Jesus Christ is not particularly what they want to hear, but I can tell you this, it is surely what they urgently need to hear.
Yes. Yes.
And we should be willing to step out as the Apostle Paul was in the book of Acts, and even be thrown out sometimes, because we're willing to share the message Jesus Christ with the Jewish person. Don't shy away from it. Step up to the plate. If you don't, if I don't, those Jewish people are going to be spending eternity in the devil's hell. And that should move us deeply in the soul. Pray this morning. Father, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul, for his message to us, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
We thank you for his wonderful example in the book of Acts. Lord, I pray that you'll put on our path Jewish people. Lord, help us even to pray that we might meet Jewish people to whom and with whom we can share the gospel of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to look for opportunities, not just to wait for them to fall our way. Help us to look and seek out divine appointments with your chosen people that we might share with them the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask now that you'll work in our hearts. If there's someone here who's not saved, Lord, I pray you'll speak to them even through this message, though it wasn't one of particularly focused on salvation. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts if people are looking for your will this morning. Maybe someone rebelling or resisting your will that you might have for them this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll soften their hearts and help them to be willing in every respect to be obedient to what you are speaking to their hearts to do this morning. I ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.